This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Nutramedical Report. We have Lowell Ponte here. He does an amazing article. In fact, at AmericanThinker.com, you can get the full article, which is, I think, around 8 pages now, Lowell. Four pages. I doubled it. Welcome to the class war, it says. Lowell, I'm waiting to get into this because what I see going on is purely insanity. If we could actually take a class of people, the uber leftists and the rhino right, which are opposing Trump. Because remember, it's not just the left that's opposing Trump, it's the swamp, which includes people like McConnell to put this omnibus bill out. And Ryan, who's leaving, you know, he probably knows that the firestorm that's going to take him out anyway is coming, so he might as well leave before the firestorm hits him. But there's so many weird things going on. If you could put this in and embody in a patient, I would classify the left as criminally insane and need to be in a lockdown psychiatric ward for the criminally insane. This is so far over the top now, and it's in your face. They don't care. These people do, honestly, as you said before the show, they think they're gods, only it's a small g god, and just like Satan himself, they're due for annihilation. This is so crazy. That latest, of course, the statement I saw was Bernie Sanderclaus. That's his new name, by the way, Sanderclaus. Offering a 10% tax to give everybody a job in America with the federal government, and $1,000 money. I mean, this is, makes me recall the communist statement from my friends in the former Soviet Union, say, we would pretend to work and they pretend to pay us. So let's get into this article, please.
Oh, sure. Well, we've already talked about that in a different form, and that is a guaranteed basic income. By the way, this week, Finland, which was the major European country experimenting with how people would react if they were given a guaranteed income, they pulled the plug on the experiment. They realized it will be a disaster and a failure. Sweden's chief economic forecaster told his countrymen, guess what, with all these illegal immigrants, or just immigrants who must be respected in the country, Muslims, many of them criminals, they are going to have to significantly raise taxes in Sweden because most of those immigrants are on welfare.
Only 500 out of 164,000 are actually working.
And I'm surprised it's that many, and I'm sure it costs the companies more to have them work. But one other topic.
They probably get government subsidies to actually employ them because they may not have the skill sets to do an actual job.
Yes, one other thing. A federal judge appointed by George W. Bush, has said that Donald Trump has 90 days to prove why he believes DACA should be eliminated. And if he cannot do it to the judge's satisfaction, then DACA will be fully reinstated. This is insane for a whole number of reasons we can get into as well. But let's start with the column I have today out at AmericanThinker.com. Welcome to the class war. In the great class war between the rich and the government, whose side are you on? This was inspired by a piece in MarketWatch this week that says by 2030, the richest 1% of people on Earth are on track to control nearly 66% of the world's money, or approximately $305 trillion. Of course, they admit the rich don't have $305 trillion. They have $140 trillion, but at 6% compound interest between now and then, with nothing to deprive them of their money, they will wind up with $305 trillion. This article, by the way, was inspired by pieces in the hard-left British newspaper The Guardian, basically the newspaper of the Labour Party, the Marxist Socialist Labor Party, by best-selling French Marxist economist Thomas Piketty, and by ideologically similar sources, The group Oxfam was just terrified that just 8 billionaires, it wrote, have as much wealth as 3.6 billion people, the poorest half of the world. Well, that is shocking, isn't it? Until you begin to ponder things. For example, the left has always said that the United States has only 6% of the world's population, but it has 24% of the world's developed resources. This seems horribly unjust, doesn't it? Until one remembers that we are the ones who developed those resources. Would it be better to turn them over to greedy governments that developed nothing?
And always they have the Andy Midas touch. They screw everything up. Look at Obama. He looks like the Pied Piper of Hamelin with the Andy Midas touch. Everything he touched turned to horse manure.
Well, funnily, even Karl Marx said there must be a major phase of capitalism before there can be communism. The reason being, even Marx realized that socialism is not a system of production. It is a system of redistribution.
Right.
And with that phase of capitalism, which is a productive system, to build up a great amount of surplus wealth somewhere, there's nothing for socialism to redistribute. Of course, Karl Marx never came to grips with the logical question, and that is, once you redistribute all the wealth that had been accumulated, then you're going to be out, and you'll have a non-productive system, and what are you going to do?
Right.
Well, you're going to be redistributing the poverty, which is traditionally what happened, not the wealth, which is traditionally what happens in socialist countries.
Well, look at Russia. I mean, it was a good example. After it was an economic collapse that destroyed the Soviet Union. It wasn't military. And, in fact, Russia is one of the poorest countries in the world now.
Yeah, it has the 12th or largest GDP on the planet, which is to say its GDP is smaller than Brazil, smaller than Italy. And this is a country with almost limitless natural resources.
Yeah,
smaller than the state of Texas. Only half the size of the state of California.
Right.
And yet, because most of their wealth, which they get from oil and natural gas mostly, is devoted to weapons, they are still taken seriously as a country.
Right. But by the way, that's over now. America is the number one oil and gas producer as of this year, with the opening of Anwar and old offshore oil exploration, as well as all the oil wells are refilled all across the country. I took oil of oil engineers for 30 years. I can tell you all the wells are refilled. Then Russia has been displaced by us, including the Middle East. We're the number one oil and gas producer on the planet now.
And we in Russia were the number one and two gas and oil producers anyway. The only reason Saudi Arabia was paid attention to is for a long time we in Russia used our own oil and gas. They used it to keep warm because they were in such cold climate. We used it for our weekend drives and so on. And so Saudi Arabia was the country with almost no people and very easy to bring up oil, and therefore they had surplus oil to sell.
Exactly. Now, where is this all this going? Because I see an aimless Democratic Party that's still trying to criticize Trump and think it's a policy. I see also Republicans kind of trying to dredge up the foolishness and comments of Nancy Pelosi and her crumbs, and Hillary Clinton is still whining. She's on her wine tour, book tour. And neither of these works, because I think, honestly, the economic revolution that Trump's done is amazing. He needs to start dealing with health care. And the way I recommend he deal with health care is bring it in little pieces and assemble it. A lot of it by executive order by the new director of Health and Human Services, which is they're trying to fight the VA hospital director. But bring in a health care system in pieces, like preventive health care, a national system of competition for catastrophic care for everybody, and then direct contract with local primary doctors to take care of people at a reasonable cost, and maybe have some, you know, price control systems so that they can't have varied prices up to 200-300% for, say, surgical and other procedures. You don't need to interfere with the capitalistic system, but you can set it up in such a way that it's affordable for everybody. And that's what will work. In fact, the reason why China's not a real economy, it's a phony economy, because I've talked to engineers that have gone over and they bought companies or set them up in China. Their engineers are afraid to even invent something new. So the only way they exist is actually steal our intellectual property, our companies come in, force them to hand over their technology, replicate it and compete against us directly at overnight shifts. And the real issue is they're a fake economy, again, another communist state. And ultimately, if you pull the wind out of their systems by stopping intellectual theft, etc., they're going to collapse. That's the fact, isn't it? It's only a Western, democratic, conservative. Kind of summarize a few principles you've mentioned over the many months now we've had you on the show regularly, and of course your co-author Craig Smith is on Neil Cavuto's Business on Fox News Business every week. The basic principles are new production, new invention, new technologies, new abilities to produce food, technology, etc., always come out of a democratic country that allows some wealth and some people with exceptional abilities to develop that and become wealthy by creating whole new systems. It doesn't occur in socialist countries unless they actually steal it or transfer it, which is what's happening with a third of a million Chinese students here. And industrial theft estimated at $200 billion for American intellectual property per year to China and $30 billion a year from Canada. People need to know this pattern. If we have the trade war start and the stop of the intellectual property theft, and we maybe stop the allowing a third of a million Chinese students to literally waltz in, go to corporations, and then waltz out with technology, like the little movie or miniseries now, Silicon Valley, where the Chinese guy that was actually working in the house where they were, you know, a bed of new technologies, literally walked over to China and tried to see if he could clone it all. Well, this is going to end this year. And Xi knows it. And the epiphenomena is North Korea. North Korea is a weaponized, poor, starving microstate that could wipe out America with an EMP attack or nuclear attack. And yet, we've allowed it because we have flaccid, incompetent people like Barack Obama and George Bush Jr., George Bush Sr., and Bill Clinton, who never dealt with these issues. And the fact is that states of globalism is ideally trying to literally spread the wealth of intellectual property to other nations that don't deserve it, and will use it to try to destroy us, where China has the policy of 2025 under Xi, which he's written these new documents, to literally become the prescient power in the world by 2025, just 6.5 years from now. And this is not going to happen. People don't realize that China is on the verge of economic collapse because once they lose the ability to steal our technology, they won't be able to compete with new 3D printing and robotics and artificial intelligence. If we stop the sale of using our Silicon Valley companies to compress and mistreat their own citizenry, a lot of the students that go to these other countries won't want to go back to China because it's a hell of a place. And people need to understand, I have relatives there, I can tell you that China is on the verge of internal collapse, isn't it?
Well, sure. This is why they had such a challenge with the students at Tiananmen Square, whom they gunned down. And when I say they, the Chinese elite did not send in ordinary Chinese troops to kill the students who were parading the Statue of Liberty.
Right.
They took a group of elite troops, custom selected for the purpose, who were stationed 45 miles north of Beijing. And they brought them in because they feel if they sent ordinary Chinese soldiers in, the soldiers might have gone over to the side of the people, and that would have been a big, big problem for the old leadership in China. They would then have had a hell of a problem. Oh, I shouldn't have had that. Pardon me. The problem is this elite is the same kind that Bill Clinton tried to establish in the United States. Bill Clinton had questionnaires going out to U.S. Marine commandos and so on to see which of them felt that if the United Nations ordered guns confiscated from Americans, which ones would be willing to shoot Americans to enforce the U.N. rule and which ones wouldn't. And in that way, he could select the same kind of unit Communist China had of people who would not go over to the people. Of people who would stay.
So that's one of the questions that the SEAL teams are actually asked. will you shoot Americans on order? And the SEAL teams, if they don't answer that question correctly, they're fired. Did you know that?
I'm not surprised at all. And the difficulty is, you see, they've tried to create theoretical, perfect egalitarian communism, a classless society, but there is one of the most important books of the 20th century, written in 1957 by the Chancellor of the Exchequer under Marshal Broz, Tito, in Yugoslavia, who, by the way, was a personal friend of Stalin's and knew all the major communist leaders of the Soviet Union. And his name, Milovan Gilas, D-J-I-L-A-S. And his book was titled The New Class. And his point was, communism has never achieved classlessness. What communism created was a new elite ruling class, a new class of princes who would sit above the people. They would have the beautiful dakas on the Black Sea. They would have ample food. They didn't have to stand in line with a ration card to get fed. They didn't have to wait to get ten years to get a one-bedroom cold water apartment with the bathroom down the hall, shared by everyone on that floor. They lived the opulent life of the elite class in the West. Their children automatically were granted the top positions at the University of Moscow and so on.
Right.
So they were not like ordinary people. And if you're dealing only with the elite ruling class, they are just like rich people in the West, only with less freedom.
Well, the fact is that with the Communist Manifesto, only 10% of the Russian population were allowed to become a member of the Communist Party. You know that, right?
I'm not surprised. I mean, the point is, as I try to explain in this article, Welcome to the Class War, there is not just one form of money. When they write this asinine left-wing article at Market Watch saying, oh, the rich will have so many dollars, that means nothing. What do I mean by that means nothing? I mean this. The wealth of a country has two currencies. One is the coin of money, and one is the coin of power. I mean, for example, in the United States, like other countries, real wealth comes from power. You may have a big stack of $100 bills, and so you're considered rich. But the government owns the printing press and can conjure as much money as it wishes out of thin air whenever it wants. The government has limitless money.
Right.
Of course.
But you know, that's ending now. This is also the Black Swan event of 2018. Is arrival of things like Coinbee and these other Yobit exchanges for cryptocurrencies, and even now e-gold, which is the Caribbean gold that I'm into. And I can tell you, the regular world currencies are freaking out because they can't control this now. And they also can't control data. I know from my contacts inside the NSA and other agencies that I was working with directly, their biggest concern was non-prime number encrypted communications, including financial communications. And now that the thing is out, 2 years ago, the NSA actually released all their hacking tools to see if hackers out there could find a way of getting around non-prime number encryption systems. The real future money in the future is not going to be currency or bullets or even technology in the regular sense. It's going to be intellectual property, artificial intelligence, where AI systems can have IQs collectively thousands or millions of times more than the collective population of the United States. That's coming in the next 5 to 10 years, and people aren't ready for it. The new currency in the future will be iMoney. In other words, intellectual property money, the ability to create new solutions to problems that they haven't even managed yet. Right?
That will certainly be a major success.
Our thing went down. Are we still on?
We are.
Mackenzie, are we still on? On the break, Lowell, you mentioned about the new Panama Light Canal. It's actually, you're correct, it's the Nicaraguan Canal, and it's being developed by the Chinese. It's called the Grand Interoceanic Canal. What's going to happen is it's going to rival the Panama Canal, but it's much wider. You know, it's still going ahead slowly. What I heard is that they think it might open as early as next year, or at the latest 2020. And, of course, it talks about how it could have devastating influences, too. The ruling party, of course, controlling this, could also control the shipping of traffic in both oceans, both the Pacific Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean. And the vessels are far too big to go through the Panama Canal. Of course, the Nicaraguans are communists, so we've withdrawn some of our personnel and other people there. So something big is afoot, isn't there? Now, I also know that Venezuela, who's on our...
They're going to lose power. Yeah.
What's happening, too, and people have to understand, the Supreme Court's... Yeah, the Supreme Court is ruling today on whether or not the new third ban is going to stand, because they include Venezuela and North Korea. It's my feeling that Venezuela is a lot more involved with some really bad things with these two communist countries, Russia and China. And I'm personally the whistleblower for the Russian submarines in the Orinoco River aimed at us from the south. In fact, a month ago, Putin actually threatened us he could do a southern attack where we don't have any missile defense systems or early warning systems to tell us from the south. And, of course, this is why the Cuban Missile Crisis was such a problem. Those missiles were actually in place until the fall of the Soviet Union, almost 30 years later, after the 1962 crisis. And John W. Spring was on Tuesdays every third hour, was the actual original whistleblower for the Cuban Missile Crisis. This situation in Venezuela is a lot worse. And both communist China and Russia are involved in Venezuela with Maduro. And we have to understand the situation through the Nicaraguan canal, or they call it that, which is the Grand Oceanic Canal. They were estimating this a few years ago that it's going to take 5 years to build. This is going to be a major plant economically of China in our sphere of influence just south of us in the Mediterranean and in the Central America. I think it's a very bad move on the part that we've allowed this to happen. It's crazy, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And Venezuela is an interesting country because it has more than oil deposits. It also has some of the biggest uranium deposits in the New World. And so it could be a supplier of uranium to countries like Iran, and in fact has negotiated with them about that.
Talked about the actual member of the...
As to the Cuban Missile Crisis, you have this complication. And that is, yes, we got them to take their land-based missiles down, but that did not stop Soviet submarines from tying up at the submarine base at Cienfuegos, Cuba. Why is that significant? Because if you have a missile submarine, once you tie it up so that it becomes totally stationary, it can then zero in its missiles with the same accuracy as a land-based missile. And so they did, in effect, have land-based missiles in Cuba aimed at us.
Yeah, but it didn't just have the missiles tying up in subs. I have classified information that there were land-based missiles in Cuba, maybe not at that site, that were aimed at us from the south right to the fall of the Soviet Union. And, America, of course, had also missiles at the Incirlik Air Base in Turkey, actually aimed at Russia at the same time. They had a knife at our throat. We had one at their throat. The problem is right now, Russia...
Our missiles at the time of the Cuban Missile Crisis in Turkey were Jupiter missiles, and they were liquid-fueled, not solid-fueled, and as a result, they were use-it-or-lose-it weapons. I mean, in order to use a Jupiter missile, which is very powerful, you had to bring it up above ground and then put the liquid fuel in it, and that process could take 30 minutes to an hour.
Right.
All the time your missile was above ground, it was vulnerable to being preempted.
Wow.
So you had to shoot it the moment you had it fueled. You couldn't wait any longer. So they were very risky weapons to have. Now, of course, our missiles are solid fueled. And so we can fire them from an underground silo or what have you. And that makes for a very different position. They never have to go into that phase of total vulnerability. our sites traditionally are hardened to at least a tenth of a mile CEP. I mean, a Soviet missile trying to take out one of our missile sites would have to be almost literally dead-on accurate. It would have to hit within less than a tenth of a mile. And they may not have technology to guarantee that. In any event, if you had submarines, the real threat is the Soviets keep submarines off our coast from Washington, D.C., which means if they fire a missile, it could hit Washington, D.C. in just a few minutes.
Right.
It doesn't take the time of an ICBM. And so they're actually considered a greater threat than a missile stationed in Venezuela or Cuba, where you might have 20, 30 minutes or more to react to their firing the missile.
Now, you know the White House, they have a tunnel system underneath the White House as well, right?
What?
They have a tunnel system under the White House to get the president and his staff away underground to an underground tunneling system that will take them eventually out to West Virginia to their facilities.
They have all kinds of defenses for the elite. But the problem is... See, the problem is, this is what I found so interesting when I used to do think tank strategic analysis on these issues. And that is, what is a bomb shelter defined as in nuclear terms? It is defined as a first strike offensive weapon. Now, how could a bomb shelter be offensive, you ask? Well, very simple, because it's only of use to the country that knows it's going to strike first. They're the only people who will have time to get their people into the bomb shelter. And a bomb shelter is almost useless, except for the president and a few others, if a missile is fired from 200 miles off our coast and is going to hit Washington, D.C. in less than 5 minutes. How many people are you going to be able to get to a bomb shelter in 5 minutes when they don't even get the warning until they have 2 minutes left? The answer is, for them, a bomb shelter is pointless, because they'll never get there. And that's the challenge you have. So a bomb shelter is actually an offensive weapon. It only helps the people who know they're going to stage a sneak attack first.
Interesting. By the way, I pulled up an article here from last year that the Chinese said they put it on hold, so maybe there is a hold on this Nicaraguan canal. I heard it was still under construction, although I think there's conflicting stories here. They talked about, they put the canal on hold, and this is a June 19, 2017 article. But May 27th, just a week before, have expressed an interest in developing land around the Panama Canal. The chief executive, so they're talking about maybe doing something in Panama rather than Nicaragua. I'm not sure what the difference is there.
Oh, understand. The Chinese have for years had major facilities at both ends of the Panama Canal. So
right.
They could close it in a heartbeat just by detonating weapons hidden in their two major facilities. They've done the same thing around the Caribbean. I mean, the Bahamas and so on. So, therefore... closing a canal is not the problem, and opening the canal, well, Trump doubtless gave them warning, if you go ahead with this without our approval or with any possibility of cutting off U.S. shipping through your canal, then we will just topple the pro-Chinese government there for you, because we still ultimately control Latin America.
Right.
And so that's what's now happening. They're on the verge of toppling the Nicaraguan government just to show the Chinese that, no, you can't just build a canal against our wishes here.
Yeah, I think when
you talk about oil super tankers, they can't get through the Panama Canal.
No. And I have a feeling, too, now what Trump is doing is so remarkable to squeeze the Chinese. The next thing he needs to do is literally seize all the money of all the PLA oligarchs in China, the same as the Russian oligarchs, including Putin. And that would set things straight in terms of the problem with Kim Jong-un. Kim is just a symptom of the abscess caused by these communists. and welcome back. On the break, you mentioned a number of really interesting things. They talked in the 1950s about using nukes. America was about building a transoceanic canal. You mentioned also in the break that an ocean level canal, which basically doesn't have any locks, would change the salinity of the oceans and change a lot of things, including maybe the normal North Atlantic drift current that affects the climate of Europe, etc.
It would cause the water from the Pacific to flow into the Gulf of Mexico. That, in turn, would change the salinity of the Gulf of Mexico. That would cause a change in the salinity of the Gulf Stream going up the east coast of the United States, where it turns right, and then, as Ben Franklin knew, in fact, Ben Franklin proposed this is how we would defeat the British during the Revolutionary War, just dam up the Gulf Stream. Just pour a lot of rocks into the Atlantic at that level, and it would cause the global temperature, the temperatures of Europe, to drop by 5 to 10 degrees. It would make Europe Arctic. People don't understand. The line between, the main line between the U.S. and Canada is the 49th parallel. The 50th parallel runs between London and Paris. Europe is a lot farther north, a lot more like Canada, most people realize.
Right.
And if the only thing that keeps them warm is water from the Gulf Stream turning, crossing the Atlantic, and splashing against Europe, against England, against Scotland, and so on, and Ireland. Mm. Now, Franklin realized if you damped the Gulf Stream, you would cause temperature to drop radically in Europe. He understood this 200-plus years ago, and he was absolutely right. It would. Of course, that's also what we would have accomplished if, as many people propose, you put a paddle wheel in the Gulf Stream just as an energy source. It would be the greatest energy source on the planet, basically. Because we'd remember, the Gulf Stream is flowing with more than 50 times all the water in all the world's rivers in one ocean current. So if you tap the ocean of that water, you would be, with a paddle wheel, you'd be it, but you'd slow it down. And you would change the climate in Europe by doing it. Now, if we put through a canal at Nicaragua at sea level, and if the Pacific flowing into the Mediterranean or into the Caribbean changed the salinity going up the Gulf Stream, there is a point where the Gulf Stream turns up near Baffin Island, where a great current comes down along Canada. And what that would mean is right now the Gulf Stream rides on top of that conflicting current and goes on to Europe. But if you change the salinity of the Gulf Stream, it will sink. And if it sinks, it will collide with that current coming down from Canada. And the more it collides, the less warmth washes across the ocean, across the Atlantic, to get to Europe. So by digging a sea level canal at Nicaragua, as China's talking about doing, without locks, you have the potential to drastically change and damage the climate in Europe.
Wow. Is that what they're talking about, the sea level canal so it doesn't have locks? Is that what they're talking about?
Well, no. I'm saying they will have to put locks in it in order to retard that flow.
Right.
Otherwise, you would get that effect. But maybe they want that effect. By the way, we were talking about wealth, and I made the point that government has all the wealth in the world because government owns the printing presses. It can turn out all the money it wants anytime it wants. That's something that no rich person can do. The other thing, leftists like Bernie Sanders say, well, the rich own all this land. To which you have to reply, no, they don't. I mean, consider you and the giant estate you live in, Dr. Bill. You're a rich person. You've done great good for humanity, and you deserve to be. But what happens if you stop paying your property tax for a year or two? Why, the government comes and takes your property.
Right.
In other words, the government is de facto charging you rent on your property as the ultimate owner, as your landlord.
Right.
That's what property tax means. So in other words, the government is vastly richer than private individuals can ever dream of being. So what about the government's land? How much land does the government own? Well, it owns all of it, really. I mean, it can take it back by eminent domain. It can take it back by taxation and so on. It can just keep increasing the tax until you can't afford to pay it anymore. Uncle Sam indirectly owns all the land in the U.S., but directly owns, for example, 47% of all land in the United States west of Denver. That's about half of all the land.
Wow.
So who are the rich, really? And who are the enemy of the poor in the class war, I write to the American Thinker today. Uncle Sam directly owns 89.5% of Nevada, 69.1% of Alaska, 57.4% of Utah, 50.2% of Idaho. That's a lot more than half of each of those states. 48.1% of Arizona, and even in California where you live, 45.3% of the entire state of California is federally owned. It's almost half of California.
Wow.
So who is the real rich entity in the world? Is it a few rich people or not? The point is that I can do a long, interesting technical explanation of a lot of this, but what it comes down to is that would Uncle Sam redistribute not wealth, because that's almost irrelevant. It, government manipulates what your dollar is worth anyway.
Right.
Will government redistribute the coin of power that it all has a monopoly on? Will it give power back to the people? No, it won't. That's the point of Bernie Sanders and his socialism. They want government to be even more powerful and own even more. The point is, by the way, if when they say that, oh, well, government is just all of us, I want you folks to remember that the next time you try to visit a national park and they charge you $20 to get into your national park.
Right.
And see who really owns it and who doesn't. The point is, the rich are nothing compared to the government. The government really owns
They own all the land. They have the coin of the realm. Their conflict right now is with things like cryptocurrencies and gold-backed currencies like carrot bars. Because the real issue is they want to control the wealth. They also look at this little boy, Alfie, in Britain, how the parents are even being blocked from being able to take a helicopter to Italy, even with the Pope giving him citizenship and the Italians willing to help the little boy. The British have the nerve to say, look, the parents don't have parental rights to take their child out of the hospital to a helicopter, medevac helicopter.
The ultimate parent. Yeah,
yeah, and so
two quick things with time almost gone for this hour.
And by the way, if you want to stay over for a few minutes in the next hour, we do have some time.
Oh, that would be nice. But let me just say for this hour, for those who've been listening, Craig Smith, who you heard Monday on Coast to Coast with George Norrie nationally, who you see all the time with Neil Cavuto on Fox Business. He and I have co-authored 7 books. The latest is Money, Morality, and the Machine, which we would be happy to give you folks absolutely free and post-paid. It will not cost you a penny because, frankly, Craig doesn't need the money from selling a few books. We'd rather arm people with information. To get the free book, dial 800-630-1492, like the year Columbus sailed the ocean blue. That's 800-630-1492. I have 2 concluding paragraphs, very short, that are worth reading from today's column at AmericanThinker.com. As President Donald Trump's clash with the arrogant, unelected deep state has revealed, government is just another selfish special interest group. There's nothing that makes government more noble than the rich. In fact, as Mr. Trump shows, we need independent rich people who can afford to fight against gigantic government's never-ending greed for power. That, of course, is the real reason why socialists like Bernie Sanders hate and make war against the rich, and against which Donald Trump stands for. The rich are little islands of freedom and alternative thought that keep us from being crushed by a government that controls everything. The rich are necessary in a free society.
Absolutely.
So I'm glad you're here. And I will say...
Yeah, stay over now. It's the next hour. We get a couple minutes break. Be ready to come back. I've got lots of good questions, and I want to raise questions that we need to talk about because you've got lots of answers, Lowell, on many different issues. And believe me, the next 6 months is going to determine the direction not only of America in the 2018 and 2020 elections, it's going to determine the direction of the human race for good, if there is one. We come back, we're going to raise some questions you may not hear anywhere else, including on Coast to Coast or anywhere else. You're not going to hear them, but you will hear them, analysis and solutions on the Nutra Medical Report. We'll be back in a moment with Lowell, an hour or two.